everybody. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. So glad y'all were able to be with us tonight, all you watching live on the video feed, and just love each and every one of you. If you have a prayer request, just put it in the comment section and we'll be praying with you. Anyone on our right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am.
Y'all remember Pam, my sister, she gets her bag.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, absolutely. Anyone else on my right side of this? Yes, Ms. Tapp. Wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer? Sister Lauren? Absolutely. There's been a lot going out on the prayer request today. A lot of prayer requests going out. Praise the Lord. Anyone else on the right side? I don't want to miss anyone. All right. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer? Sister Linda? Absolutely. Just looked it up to the Lord. Anyone else in the congregation? I don't want to miss anyone. Or back in the sound booth? All righty. Anybody?
The ones that's on the text.
Amen. Yeah, there's so many on the text. And I know for those of you that are on that group that you see them. And also those special prayer requests that's in the our prayer box, and those that get put on our blast. So we just want to lift each and every one up. I know how much it is, and I'm just grateful for what God is doing in our life. And if you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, we just want to lift you up with all the honor and glory that we possibly can. Dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, for this service, we ask that you'll just let us feel your holy presence, dear Lord, that we'll just turn all of our attention on you. Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to worship you, ready to receive your word, dear Lord. We thank you again, dear Lord, for each and every spoken prayer request and, Lord, those unspoken. Lord, we ask you to be with those that have lost a loved one, those that are going through this time of mourning, dear Lord. Let them find peace in you. Lord, let that unity in the families that need to be held into, Lord, we pray. And we thank you, dear Lord, for all your many blessings. Lord, we know that you're healing, know that you're protecting, you're guiding, and you're providing. And, dear Lord, again, we just thank you. Dear Lord, now we lift up our pastor, ask you to bless him and his family. Strengthen them as they go about your work, dear Lord, for our church. Lord, for this congregation, dear Lord, for every ministry that goes forth. And, dear Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to praise you and give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Let's give him another hand clap and praise. Praise God, praise God. I was reading a note from another note. Let me get them all put up so I won't forget stuff. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 120. Sorry, I should have told you, Miss Penny. Victory in Jesus. We haven't done this one in a while. Love the Lord this evening. Everybody just sing and worship with us.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious victory. Amen. Oh,
You may be seated if you can. I also want to welcome our visitors and all of you watching online again. Welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. We just want to worship the Lord this evening and just take this opportunity. I know a lot of people call Wednesday night as Wednesday night prayer meeting, and a lot of people used to call it that refueling night or that just getting us through the next week, and we just want to praise the Lord. Anytime's good to meet in the house of the Lord. Amen. Just love each and every one of you. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. Do we have any announcements that need to be brought forth? Okay. I haven't got anything up here either. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our Wednesday night offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I cannot understand. For the things that make us cry won't be found in that land. There'll be no pain, no sorrow. We'll never be sad again. It's a place of peace and rest, and the joy.
Sister Susan, come on up.
Just suppose God searched through heaven, He couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to
band. Give Sister Penny a rest. I wanted to share this before I sing this song. I seen this on Facebook the other day and it just really touched my heart, because one of the things that God's been dealing with me about is worshiping Him. It doesn't matter who is around us or what's going on. It's between me and Him when I worship Him. And this said, stop letting other people determine your worship. It does not matter if everyone else around you is raising their hands, kneeling at the altar, or shouting with praise. You still can. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth is your born-again birthright. You do not have to fit your adoration for Jesus into a cute little box. It can be radical. It can be exuberant. It can be loud. It can be quiet. It is between you and God, not you and man. It says, do not hold back because of the atmosphere you're in. You're called to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. And that just touched my heart so much, because I can't tell you the times that I have fought back my worship because I thought, what is someone else going to think? Because there's been many times, I mean, even like, I can't even describe, but many times I'm sitting in my pew, I feel like getting up and coming to the front, you know, and worshiping God. And I shouldn't be afraid, because it's between me and Him. And the song that I picked tonight is the Alabaster Box, because you weren't there when He saved me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the cost of my oil in my box. I don't know the cost of any of your oil. I know some of your testimonies, and if I had a testimony as some others have, I know I would worship the Lord. because he's been good to us. Amen. Y'all worship with me tonight.
She made her way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger. Her folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her
to thought of that. What humbleness, amen, it took. And what love for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. How many loves Jesus tonight?
Praise the Lord.
You know, time is swiftly passing.
What?
Heard that a lot in my youth and didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it. It seemed like from one Christmas to the next was an eternity. But that's no longer the case. Time is really slipping by. We were at a funeral yesterday and at a funeral today, and that common theme is time is short, and we better be ready. Amen. We don't know the day nor the hour. Amen. And many people think that alludes or means the time of the eastern splitting of the sky and Jesus coming. Well, it certainly refers to that, but it also refers to the breath that we breathe. We don't know the day or the hour that breath can be caught off, caught away. But it's good to know that we're ready to meet the Lord, and if we're not, we better get ready. Wouldn't want a day to pass. I wouldn't want a night to spend a night without knowing that I have a home in heaven. And this song, I'm going to try this. I have no idea what key it is, so y'all pray for me. We may have to start it over. Let's try E flat. This is an old, old song. Somebody said, all you know is old, old songs. That's because I'm an old, old person. By the way the land is laying, I think I'd be safe in saying that over next year we'll be home. It's a straight, narrow highway, no detours or no byways, and over the next year we'll be home. By the dreams that I've been dreaming, there will be a great redeeming over the next year we'll be home. By the turn tide is taken, I would say there's no mistaking that over the next year we'll be home. There's a place that we are nearing that so many have been fearing, and over the next year we'll be home. When we get there, we're all hoping that we'll find the gate is open, and over the next year we'll be home. When we get there, we're just hoping that we'll find the gate is open, and there'll be a refuge from the coming storm. For the way's been long and weary, but at last the end is nearing, and over the next year we'll be and over the next year we'll be home. Saints, it's not going to be too long. I don't believe it. But there's joy in knowing that when we leave this walk of life, we got a better place to go. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of His amazing grace. Amen. And when He was on the cross, we were on His mind. Thank God for that. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We're so thankful to have an opportunity. We're thankful that God has given us life and breath for another day. Amen. Another day of His blessings and His anointing. Amen. And the many wonderful things that God had just kind of showers on us day by day. If you have your Bibles tonight, we want to go to the book of 1 John in the 5th chapter, beginning with verse number 18. Desire your prayers tonight as we attempt to bring to you what we feel the Lord has laid upon our heart. Again, from the book of 1 John, chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 18. The writer says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we come again to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your amazing grace. God, for those who have gathered here tonight, and Father, I pray, God, that you would just pour out of your anointing and your blessing, God, upon this congregation tonight. Father, we ask for the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Ask you, God, now to anoint these lips of clay. God, just to use this vessel to speak to our hearts tonight, that we may be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are sick, many are afflicted. Many have called, many have texted, God, needing prayer. Father, we know, God, that you're able to touch and anoint in each and every situation. And by faith tonight, we believe, God, for the healing of those who have asked us to pray. And Father, again, we look to you, now asking you, Lord, to lead us and guide us. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thought about this message quite a bit this week. You might say current events may have triggered this type of thinking or this particular passage of scripture that we feel that the Lord led us in our study in this week. But I don't think it so much as the current events is as much as it is that the Lord just wants us to know that he can comfort us even in the most diverse and adverse times that we may face. And I think that we as a church, we as a people, we as a born-again child of God really need to depend on God during these stressful times, because can't find any relief in anything else other than the word of the Lord and that the closeness of his Spirit. But if I had a message tonight titled, it would be Overcoming Evil. How many would agree with me today that there is evil in the land, seemingly at a higher rate than many of us have been accustomed to in our lifetime? I've heard that said recently, that never seen things as bad as they are in this present day. Never seen as much evil as I'm seeing in today. But history tells us, and the Bible tells us, that evil has been around since the very beginning of time in the Garden of Eden, since the fall of man himself. We might agree that it has gotten progressively worse, and it may just be because the world has multiplied and there's so many more people now, and there's also a news media that lets us know every time anything goes bad in the world. So we are aware almost on a daily basis of the evil that's prevalent in the world today. But I want us to know, and I want us to trust in the Lord, that we can still live for God in evil times. Man, let's say that together. We can still live for God in evil times. And the message title tonight is Overcoming Evil. Not destroying evil, not getting rid of evil, but learning to live and learning to overcome evil that is in the world today. I don't believe that we're going to be able to stamp evil completely out. I believe we're going to a place where there's no evil. I believe we're going to a place where there's no trouble, no sickness, no sorrow, no more pain, and finally, no more death. But we're not there yet. We're still in a body of flesh, and we're still in this present world, which, in fact, is a carnal world. But here the writer expounds on several topics. First of all, we know that evil exists in the world. We can't blink it away. We can't turn a blinded eye to it and just think that it doesn't exist. It does exist. We take precautions, natural precautions, because of the evil that abounds. How many knows that it's not safe to walk down some streets? That maybe 20 years ago you would not be alarmed whatsoever to walk down those streets. Many of us take precautions and do things such as locking doors, putting things away in a safe place, watching where we are. There's something now that we didn't used to, or I didn't used to think about, but when we leave a place of business, we are told or we encourage to look around and make sure that everything looks pleasant or looks good and there's nothing out of the way. And if you can, don't walk alone or don't be alone. Try to travel with somebody. And there are even things about going ahead and having your key fob out and, you know, certain things and precautions. Why is that? Because we are aware of evil on a continual basis. And, you know, the Bible talks about in the early times when Noah was on the earth. The Bible talks about man's mind was on evil continuously. And we think about Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and how he was able to cope. And, you know, there's still a church. There's still a remnant. There's still a body of believers. You know, sometimes we're referred to as the silent majority, but there's a lot of folks today, amen, that are still trusting in God, who are still praying on a daily basis. And I believe prayer is what's keeping this thing alive. I believe prayer is what's protecting the church and protecting the people of God. Amen. But in this day and hour where Noah was, that imagine if there was only one family in the whole entire area that was actually true to God, and everything else around them, everyone else around them was on evil continuously, but yet in the middle, and I want you to pay attention to this, in the very midst, in the middle of all of that perversion and all of that evilness, Noah and his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In unusual circumstances, in evil environment, yet they were still able to remain true to God. So that discounts the word or the person today who says, I can't live for God in this evil world. Yes, you can. You can through the Spirit of God. How many is thankful for the Spirit of God? As Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, as I said earlier, we were on his mind. We were on his mind because he loved us, but we were also on his mind because he knew that we couldn't make it without him. I have that testimony every day of my life. I could not make it without the Lord. But thank God, I don't have to make it without the Lord, because he has sent his Spirit, his Comforter, back to dwell inside this mortal body to keep me, amen, and to have fellowship with me each and every day. So again, the writer says, we know that evil exists in the world even from the very beginning, but we also know that we are of God. If you're thankful that you are part of the body of Christ, put your hands together for the Lord tonight who made that possible. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be called a Jesus believer. Because believe me, if I was not a believer in Christ, I would be probably caught up in the evilness that abounds in this world today. But thank God he pricked my heart. Thank God he convicted my lifestyle. And he brought me to an altar of repentance and caused me to confess my evil or my sinful life and accept Jesus Christ and the precious shed blood that he shed for me on the cross of Calvary, so that I could exist, so that I could live, even in an evil atmosphere, even when evil is around us. So we know that we are of God. We also know that the Son of God has come. There are those in the world today who are still looking for a Messiah. Can I tell you, he's already come. Can I tell you, he is the Son of God.
that little babe that was born in a manger in the city of Bethlehem and grew up to be the Savior of the world, the supreme sacrifice that we just talked about this past weekend, how wonderful it is to know that Christ loved us so very much that He only ministered 3.5 years on this earth, but He knew that His time was drawing near, and He knew that He had to take the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary and shed His blood for us. 33.5 years. Think about that, folks. How short of a lifespan that was. But think about how much Jesus accomplished when He was here on the earth. So we know that the Son of God has come. We know that we have redemption through His precious shed blood. We know that He's coming back again. If you believe He's already come, you've got to believe that He's coming back again. And if you believe He's coming back again, He's coming back for His people. He's coming back for those who are born again, those that have accepted Jesus Christ, have repented from their lifestyle, and asked Him to come into their life. So we know that the Lord has made provision for us to even live and exist in an unpleasant situation, even when evil abounds around us. He made a way for Noah and for his family. And all the time, you know what? You know that Noah could have been out there and he could have been throwing all of the sinners under the bus and saying all kind of things. But Bible history tells us the whole time that he was building the boat, he was preaching to the lost, trying to get them to come in. They laughed at him. They scorned at him. They wouldn't believe him until the door was shut and it started raining. Unfortunately, there are going to be some left behind. You know, I'd love to stand here and preach and tell you that everybody on earth is going to heaven. And oh, how this pastor wished that was the truth. Oh, nothing would make me any more happier than to know this entire world, every person on the face of this earth, was going to heaven. And some, unfortunately, many, many times, we treat it like they are. But the Bible is true. The Bible is plain, and the Bible is easily understood. Unless you are born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. How are we born again? Amen. Through the washing away of the old man, a new creation is born in its place. The infilling of God's Spirit, amen, that He said would come back to give be a comforter, not only just to comfort us and pat us on the back, amen, but to help us through these times of trials and stressful situations. We can't live for God in an evil situation and an evil time. Don't let us get overwhelmed. Don't let us get distressed and stressed out about everything that's going in the world. We can be concerned about it. We need to be praying for it. We need to be praying for those that are lost. We need to be praying for an end-time revival that the Holy Ghost of God will be poured out on countless numbers of people. Amen. Wouldn't that be better that the Lord save them than to destroy them? Amen. Turn them into our brothers and sisters rather than those who would do us harm. So we know these things. We know that the Son of God has come and He has given us understanding. How many is thankful for the discernment and understanding that the Spirit of God has given us? Understanding to know that we must live a holy and righteous life before God. That is within us is the only righteous thing about us. The Bible plainly tells us that this carnal man or this flesh, the righteousness is as filthy rags. It's dirty. It's filthy. The flesh is going to return to the dust of the earth. But that precious gift, can I get a witness? Can I get a testimony tonight? That precious gift that Christ has given us and instilled within us, that is the only thing that is righteous and holy about humanity, that Jesus Christ Himself has saved us and washed our sins away and given us the hope of glory. I'm looking forward to a brand new home. I'm looking forward to a brand new body, a glorious place. The Bible describes a wonderful place, and I'm looking forward to that. Not because my name's on a roll book somewhere, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm this or I'm that, but because He's everything. Amen. And because He loved me enough to die on the cross of Calvary for me. So we know, and He has given us an understanding. An understanding how? That we may know that He is true. We may know that the story of the crucifixion of Christ is true. It's not a fable. Amen. It's not just a story that's been passed down from generation to generation. It is the very reason that you and I have the hope of glory. It's because Jesus loved us so much. John 3:16, almost everybody can quote it. For God so loved the world. Now, what the world was evil. That's where we need to understand. If God loved the world, he doesn't love the evil that they're doing. Don't ever get that mixed up. And he doesn't love the sin that the evilness is producing. But thank God, I'm a living testimony that he will love the sinner. And he will bring the sinner to an altar of confession and to an altar of repentance. So thank God that, and he's still reaching out to those today. And basically, I guess the underlying subject matter of this message tonight is if God loves the world, then we are the children of God. And we are to love them as he has loved us. Loving them does not mean condoning what they're doing. Loving them does not mean agreeing with their evilness and their sinful nature. Loving them means praying for them, helping them, reaching out to them, and lifting them up. And I know it's hard. So many times you get it thrown right back in your face. And honestly, today you have to be very, very careful, as we said in the onset of this message. But we still need to have a desire that the lost can be saved and on their way to heaven. Amen. Nothing would excite me any more than to see a mass of humanity find an altar of repentance. That would help turn the world around more than any other thing that we could think of. Amen. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him. So many times we're thankful, and we should be, that the Spirit of the Lord dwells within us. But how many is thankful that we walk in him? Walk in a new way, in the Spirit, amen? Not in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. And live and abide in the Spirit, amen, as the Spirit dwells within us. So we have that opportunity to walk in him. And finally, through this, through Jesus, nothing else, we have eternal life. Through Jesus Christ and his love for humanity. So that brings us to this question. How do we overcome evil? Do we completely wipe it off the face of the earth? Wouldn't that be great? Imagine a world where you didn't have to lock your doors. Imagine a world where you didn't have to watch your children. They would be safe on the streets. They would be safe playing in the yard. Imagine a place where there were no armed guards at certain places. No need for all of the things that they take today to make sure that people are safe. No fences, no all of those things. Imagine everybody being completely honest and loving and you know, wouldn't that be wonderful? But the Bible doesn't promise that. But it does promise a place where all of those things, amen, will be beyond our ability to even fathom. A glorious place. A heavenly place, a place that I'm bound to go. Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have a place to go to? But here in this world, how do we overcome evil? How do we serve God when evil abounds? As a pastor and an opportunity to talk to many, many people, and, you know, constantly, if you're born again, you should always be ready to witness and tell someone about the goodness of God. I've often had people approach me and say, well, how do you witness to people? You witness to people about what God has done for you. Nobody can tell your story better than you can. You know, a lot of times people think, well, they got to recite the Bible. They got to have all of these plan of salvation things, and that's wonderful and good too. But people have heard that so much. But if they can hear your personal testimony of how God brought you out of an evil world, how God brought you out of a bad situation and loved you and saved you, and what a wonderful way it was to turn your life over to the Lord. Probably one of the greatest witnessing tools that there is to give your personal testimony. So how do we serve God when evil abounds? We're going to talk about it in Romans. That's going to give us some answers to this question. You know, it's been often said that sometimes we are closer to God when things are worse in our life. Now, that may not apply to each and every one, but sometimes as a general rule that happens. And I'll tell you why. Because when things are rosy and when things are good and there's no problems in our life and we're not stressed out and everything's kind of going pretty good, we as a human being have a tendency maybe not to pray and seek God as much during those times on the mountains as we would when we're in the valleys. But you let sickness or affliction or trials or tribulation or persecution or just problems arise in our life, and we're very quick. And God, in fact, wants us to. He said, bring me every burden, bring me every care, and we do that. But during those times, I even find myself maybe praying more during those times than I do when things are going really good. So that lets me know that even in a world of evil, even when evil is all around us, even when we click on the television, and that's another thing. You very rarely turn on the news when you hear the good things. I've often said from the pulpit, a lot of news stations have at the very end of their broadcast, they'll say something now on the lighter side. And they'll leave you with just a little tidbit of something that's good news. But the other 59 minutes is filled with all of this junk and everything. And it seems like, you know why? The reason they spend all of that time telling you the bad things? Because society dotes on hearing the bad things. People love to hear those bad things. That sells, and the advertisers know that those are the things that sell. So that's what entices people, because evilness pricks our attention span, and as a world and as a general, we got like to listen to those things, but we don't like to listen too many times when everybody's talking about things going good. But let us know. But how do we live, or how do we exist, and how do we serve God, and how do we walk a righteous and holy life in the midst of evil? And how do we prevent evil from overcoming us? And these are something we're going to talk about very shortly. I'm doing these questions intentionally because they're answered in Romans 12, 14 through 21. If you want to be turning there, feel free to go ahead and do so. Romans 12, 14 through 21. Why does evil consume the minds of people? We just answered that. People dote on bad news. The rubberneckers, when an accident happens, everybody wants to slow down and see what's going on and see if there's somebody laying out there or something. But it just intrigues us. Also, there are guidelines to follow when battling evil or, for a better term, overcoming evil. And this is what God sort of laid on my heart this week. Many times we have the mindset of battling evil. We want to do away with it. We want it out of our life. We want it completely out from around us. We want every day to be smooth and no evil, no situations, no hardships at all in our life. We want it just stamped out. But rather, what we ought to be doing is, how do I overcome this? How do I keep this from affecting my life, affecting my attitude every day? How do I keep myself from being consumed by the evil things that are happening in the world? And the Apostle Paul writes some guidelines to that in Romans 12, 14 through 21. You can flip over there now if you want to. In verse 14 of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul writes, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. That's a whole different way of addressing the evilness in the world and the evildoers. We know that evil is present in this world. It is constantly there. But sometimes we're upset with the evildoers when we ought to know who is the adversary that causes the evil in this world. Who is the adversary that came to Eve in the garden? Who, that deceitful, lying adversary, Satan. You know, if he comes with a red suit and pitchfork and horns, you're not going to have anything to do with him whatsoever. You're going to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. But what if he comes as an angel of light and persuading you? That's not bad. Everybody else is doing it. And that's the way he works. That's the way he works. So Paul said, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And then he says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. In other words, be compassionate, be loving, especially to the household of God. That's where we really need to be reminded that we are our brother's keeper. Amen? We need to be there for one another. There's a lot of things that we face. Just because, this has been one of the things, ongoing things that new converts have battled with, we don't actually, or we're not actually free from the problems of this world just because we've been born again. So many times people think when they get saved, they give their life to Christ, they change their old lifestyle, and they're ready to serve the Lord, that all of a sudden, all problems, all trials, and all evilness is going to be completely snuffed out of their life. And that's not the case. But what we do know and what we do have faith in is that Christ is with us through every one of those problems and every one of those situations. So we know that, and we're thankful for that. So we need to lift one another up. If you have a brother or sister that's down and going through some hard times, make it a point to pray with them. Make it a point to let them know, hey, I'm thinking about you. I really care that you're going through these situations. Is there anything that I can do? First of all, physically. If not, can we just pray together? Be concerned one for another. You never know what a kind word or a kind gesture may do, amen, to help get somebody out of that situation that they're in. So bless them that that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's basically just talking about being a humble person and a caring person. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Put those thoughts out of your mind. I'm going to get even with them. They did it to me first. Payback, you know. That's what the world's ideology is all about. Not us as Christians. Amen. Let God take care of those situations. And church, don't pray, God, go get them. That's not a humble prayer. God, you know I love you. Now, take care of me, and you know what they did to me. You go fight my fight for it. No, that's not what Paul was talking about. Amen. Pray for them that spitefully use you. You know, if that be the case, then Jesus, what kind of prayer would he pray to the Father when they beat him and when they put stripes on his back? Lord, strike them down. Heavenly Father, send your angels down now. No. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It takes a humble person, an obedient person to God, to be able to say that. But recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Just do the right thing, basically. And then it says, if it is possible. I like that. That right there kind of leaves us a little bit of an outage, doesn't it? Well, God, you know, I tried, but it's an impossibility. I tried to love them. I tried to help them. I tried to pray for them, but, you know, but the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. What lies in you? The Holy Spirit. The humbleness. The righteousness of the Spirit of God. We ought to be the first to reach out a hand. We ought to be the first to love somebody, even when they don't love you back, or even when they spitefully use you. As Jesus was the prime example. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He loved them even when they hated him. Live peaceably with most men. Live peaceably with all men. Man, we as Christians ought to be the easiest going people that there are. We ought to be the most patient people in the Chick-fil-A line. Amen. Or the, what was it that Kevin Wallace was talking about in the, it was the Starbucks line. You know, somebody in front paid for his cheese Danish and coffee or something, you know, and he was thanking the Lord for it. And then he said, you know what? Lord said, why don't you do the same thing for the person behind you? And first of all, he said, well, Lord, what kind of blessing is that? You just blessed me. Now you're going to take my blessing away and give it to somebody else. He said, but the Lord laid it on his heart. He said, okay, I'll do it. So he tells the lady, he said, I want to pay for the person in the back. And then their bill was $26. And he says, what kind of person spends $26 at a Starbucks? Amen. If you're going to do something for the Lord, don't argue about it afterward. Amen. Just do it in silence. Do it and remain anonymous about it, and God will get the glory. Okay. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Okay. But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And he doesn't need to be reminded because he already knows. If you've been wronged, he knows that. And many of us want God to do wrong to them. But what about rather than God doing wrong to them, he pricks their heart and humbles them down. And they may not ever apologize to you, but if he saves them and convicts them, isn't that worth it? Isn't that worth it? I mean, we got to have the mind of Christ, amen, and let him take care of those things. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Wow. This is the word of God. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Boy, we love the last part of that. Brother Chris, we get that first part read, and all right, God didn't you talking now, buddy. Yeah, I'm going to go buy him something, and I'm going to feed him, and you do your part, God, and just put such a guilty thing on his head. You know, that's not the right spirit to do it in, man. We can overcome evil, folks. We can't wipe it off the face of the earth. We can't do it. We know that there's a prince of darkness here. That's very real. So many times we get upset and mad at the person when we should be getting upset and mad at the adversary, Satan. That's where evil abounds. Now, he's got people under his power, but you know what? God can break the chains of satanic power. I believe that with all of my heart. So if an enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink, and the Lord will take care of the other. And then verse 21 is so very vital and so very important to sum this message up, the guidelines for us to abide and overcome evil. First of all, it says, be not overcome of evil. Don't be overcome are just completely overwhelmed by the evilness that's in this world. Now, how can we do that? By constantly thinking about it, constantly talking about it, constantly worrying about it. But rather than being overcome with evil, what we need to do is overcome evil with good. Amen. Don't look to get even. Look to do good to somebody. Don't look to make somebody upset. Look to build somebody up. Don't run people down. They have enough of that in this world. Amen. Reach down and pick them up. Tell them that you love them. And more importantly, tell them that Jesus loves them. Amen. We can overcome evil whether we wipe it out or not. Amen. Why? Because he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. Amen. Don't you love Jesus? Give him praise tonight. If you love him with all your heart, and we do, we love you. And I know it's very difficult. I know it's hard because there's an onslaught against the church. Now, I'm talking about not this church. I'm talking about the believers of Christ. We're put down. We're ridiculed. We're made fun of. Amen. But rather than hating that person, say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Save them. Fill them with your spirit. And you know what? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw those people in heaven with us? Amen. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. we do love you so very much, and we appreciate you. We ask you to continue to keep those of the church and those that are sending in the request for prayer. Constantly pray for them. I will assure you there's a need every day of our life right now for people who are in need of prayer. Hospitals, nursing homes, people are sick and shut in. We all need to consider or continue to pray for them, that God would just continue to bless them, heal them, and anoint them. Before we dismiss tonight, if you're here tonight and you have a need, whatever that need is, we believe and serve a God who's able to supply all of your need, whether it be physical, whether it be situational, whatever the problem is. If you just want a closer walk with the Lord, then this altar is open. Would you come forward, and the elders and I will pray with you. We'll pray that God will sustain you and bless you, whatever that is. Amen. If you have a need, please come.
Lord, we know that with your stripes we are healed. Father, we claim it tonight by faith. God, as we anoint Sister Linda, Father, I pray that you would touch her. Speak healing into her body. Make her whole, Father. I pray right now, God, Lord, that you would touch this body in the mighty name of Jesus, that name that is above all names. God, we believe right now for a miracle of healing into her body. Touch her and strengthen her and anoint her. Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God, and bless her eyes. God, completely heal her eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Giving you honor and glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise your name. Praise your Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God for that healing. It's your mother.
I love my mom.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come on behalf of Charlotte tonight, Father, I pray, God, that this prayer call be a reminder of your healing power, of your anointing power. Father, I pray that you would honor the faith, God, Lord, of Sister Brenda, Sister Evelyn, right now, as we agree in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your way, God, we have your way, your will be done. Lord, touch it, anoint it right now, in the precious name of Jesus, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory. By faith, Lord, we call it done. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Keep it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, fathers, we come. God, we ask your Holy Spirit, God, to rebuke that spirit of death. God, rebuke it right now. God, break the chains in that house, Lord. God, the suicidal spirit that is of the adversary, it's evil, God, and I pray right now, Lord, that you would give them, God, the confidence, God, give them the peace that they seek, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, God, honor the faith right now, Sister Talitha. God, as we reach out to that family, lift them up, encourage them, give them hope, God, in a hopeless situation. God, we know that you're able right now, God. Lord, we rebuke that spirit of death right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, give them peace, Lord. Give them peace right now. God, speak it, Lord, into their hearts and into their souls.
Jesus' precious name. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Aren't we glad that the Lord not only saves us, but He's aware of our needs? He's still our healer. He's still our deliverer. Amen. And He's still our most precious confidant. Amen. And there's a lot of folks that are maybe not physically sick, but they're spiritually sick. And they need the Spirit of the Lord to guide them and lead them. Amen. God bless you. Brother Jim, come dismiss us with a word of prayer. We love you. Appreciate you. Hope you have a wonderful evening and a great balance of the week.
Let's give that Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Thank you for joining us tonight in prayer and in this service. We love each and every one of you. Those watching online, you know, welcome. Come back next time Sunday morning. And we just love each and every one of you. Like I said, with all the prayer requests and all the needs, as we get ready to close, just remember those situations. I know we've prayed for them. But as Brother Eddie said, so wonderfully, God knows what we need and when we need it. And just there's so many that are struggling and that need the Lord. And I know even our families, the situations. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for letting us come together in your house tonight, dear Lord, and in your name. Lord, your word is wonderful. Your word is edifying, dear Lord, and we just love and praise you. Dear Lord, may we be strengthened by you, dear Lord, and for each and every prayer request that's gone forth tonight. Lord, for those that have lost loved ones, those that are sick and shut in, those that are in rehab, those that are in recovery, those that are being diagnosed with so many different things right now, dear Lord, and we're just placing each and every one in your hand. And those that are spiritually lost, dear Lord, may you just touch each and every family, each and every individual. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory, and we thank you again. We love you, and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Evening. Either one.